When I was in elementary school, a long time ago, immediately after the teacher would take roll call to begin the day, we would all stand, put our hands over our hearts, and face the front where there was the United States flag, and together we would recite the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And we said this every single day, Monday through Friday, first grade through sixth. But honestly, as a kid, it wasn't something I thought all that much about. My world was really very small. The only injustice I ever knew of was diminished recess time or extra homework. I really didn't have a concept of what justice for all meant. I wasn't aware of all the pain and suffering that existed outside of my own little world. I was blissfully ignorant. But the older I've gotten, the more my world has expanded. I'm far more aware of issues like human trafficking, refugee displacement, economic exploitation, racial injustice, gun violence, mass incarceration, and we're just getting started, really. With the expansion of technology and the advent of social media, we are alerted on a daily basis to the latest and greatest issues that are occurring in real time all over the globe. And so nowadays, for me, whether I want to or not, the concept of justice for all is something that I think about on almost a daily basis. But you see, long before grade school children were pledging allegiance to a certain way of life, the scriptures were being written to inform us about the deep need that every human being has for justice. On no less than 143 different occasions in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, the case of justice for all is made over and over and over and over and over and over again. And while we don't have the time to visit each of the texts this morning, I think if I could summarize what the totality of the scriptures tell us about what justice is, it's that those of us who have power or authority in any realm are to use it in such a way that when we see something that is wrong, that we are compelled to make it right. We are to do justice because we are created in the image of a just and loving God, who desires that his creation flourish and bear witness in the here and now to the ultimate just society that is to come. And that is what Jesus made crystal clear from the very beginning of his 3-year public ministry in one of the most concise sermons that you will ever hear. But before we look at that, I want us to do just a brief review of our summer series. We've been engaged in a series this summer called The Gift of a Sacred Summer. And each week we've been giving you a gift of a particular spiritual practice that you've been invited to unwrap and to use in your lives in a meaningful way. In the very beginning, you were invited to rest, to Sabbath rest. In week two, you were invited to practice solitude and silence. In weeks three and four, Lorraine taught on my behalf while I was away, and she introduced us to the gift of play and to the gift of love. And thank you, Lorraine, for standing in and for teaching. We are so grateful for what we learned from you. This morning, as we continue our series, I want to offer you a new gift. As I invite you to speak up and to take action and to do justice wherever you see injustice in our world. Now, fresh off his wilderness wanderings, those 40 days and nights where Jesus was tempted by the enemy, Jesus returns to his boyhood home in Nazareth, and he goes to the local synagogue on the Sabbath. And when he arrives, as Lorraine read, he begins to read the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 61. And he talks about how he, in this moment, is being anointed for special things that his listeners would have been waiting for. He came to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim the release of all captives, to open the eyes of blind people, to set people who were oppressed free. He came to do something in a sense that would turn the tables for all of those who had suffered greatly in their lives. And once he read the scripture from Isaiah, he sat down and said to them, "The scripture you've just heard has been fulfilled this very day." It's a one-line sermon. Can you imagine if I did that on any given Sunday? I mean, would you feel gypped, or would you be thrilled? Would you be sad, or would you be happy? I mean, it's one sentence. Now, maybe one day I'll give you the one-sentence sermon, but not today. So, to understand as I unpack Luke 4 what's going on here, what you need to know is that the faithful Jews had waited generation after generation for God's salvation to arrive. And on this particular day, Jesus shows up in his boyhood synagogue and claims that the promises made in the 8th century BC by Isaiah, that they're now being realized in his coming. He tells him that the Spirit of the Lord is upon him, and that he is going to usher in the kingdom of God. He talks about all the things that he is going to do. His ministry would erase all debts and reverse all judgments. There would be no distinction between the rich and the poor, between the slave and the free, between the able-bodied and the disabled beggars. All distinctions and all social judgments would be abolished. In short, he came to bring justice. Now, initially, the townspeople, the people he grew up with that knew him from the time that he was a little boy, they were amazed at his words. They were indeed surprised that he would apply this teaching to himself because, after all, he was Joseph's little son. They'd watched him grow up. They knew he and his family. So it would be somewhat surprising, even though his reputation had preceded his return, it would be somewhat surprising to hear little Jesus speak these words. Knowing their thoughts, though, Jesus would share with them three different warnings, which ultimately would make them so angry that they would actually try to kill him. When he shared with them things that were on his heart, they were unable to hear them because some of those things that he said to them were an indictment against them. Things went south really quickly if you follow the reading in chapter 4. You see, Jesus wasn't concerned with nationalistic interest. He wasn't trying to make Israel great again. What he was concerned about was all classes of people who had been pushed to the margins unfairly, being treated and mistreated, neglected and diminished. And he came to speak up and to challenge the inhumanity of the social structures of his day. And in doing so, he exposed the religious leaders who in many cases had the power to make change where needed, but they just simply refused to do it. Later, he would expose the evil of racial prejudice by fellowshipping with Samaritans and Gentiles. He would also elevate and empower women where others diminish their very existence. Instead of using the power and authority given him by God to preserve his life, he exercised that very same power of love by giving it to others without any concern for himself. And simply, across the ages, Jesus calls his people to do the same. Jesus calls us, you and I, to manifest love and to speak up for those who have no voice. He invites us and he challenges us with his words and his life's actions to roll up our sleeves and to fight for justice for those who have no power. You and I are to be a community that God uses to transform the world by providing it with an alternative to its own self-centered, violent ways of existing. We are to give the gift of justice wherever it is needed. But how and where we are to do this remains a question. It's a question that I want us to consider, and in just a moment, a question that I want us to talk about. I'm hard-pressed to understand the significance of this initial text in Luke chapter 4 unless we can put some meat on its bones. The problem with Scripture sometimes is when we read it, it remains in theory, and we have to unwrap it and speak to its reality so that we can make application in our own lives. The gift I want to offer today, the practice, the spiritual practice that I want to invite you to receive, is the practice of justice. Of when you see something or hear something that isn't right, that you actually speak up and you say something or you do something to make that which is wrong right. And so what I'd like to do is for us to pray, and then we're going to do something that we did in our first service, and that is engage this topic in a real way so that in our discussion, there might be growth, there might be understanding, and then eventually there might be movement on our part. So if you would, pray with me together. Father, thank you for what we learn from Jesus as he begins his public ministry about what his life and ministry are to be about. We know that as we walk in his way, that oftentimes it will be uncomfortable, that there will be places and people that we are called to help liberate, help rescue, help come alongside to support, help use whatever authority or power that we have to make right that which is wrong. And so we just invite you as we spend these final moments together in our dialogue to be honest and to have the kind of discussion that will lead us in the way of your Son. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. So, like always with what we've been doing on Zoom for the last year, there is this time of Q&A where we process what we've heard. And one of the questions that I want us to think about as we talk about the gift of justice and how it is to be received and to be given, is I want us to really consider if our interests are really the same as Jesus's. See, Jesus came to bring about change. And initially, those who knew him well received him. But once the change that pushed up against their idea of what was right and wrong ruffled their feathers, they wanted to extinguish his very life. Please read it later this afternoon when you get a chance in Luke chapter 4. One of the things that is required for justice is courage. And the question I just kept asking myself this week is, do I really care about the things that Jesus cares about? Are our interests the same? Or am I more self-interested? Am I more interested in the things that will benefit me? Because if we're interested in the same things that Jesus is interested in, there are just some things we can't unsee. There are just some things we can't unhear. And we are to be compelled in an area of passion that we have to do justice, to walk humbly, to love mercy, and to do justice. So let's just talk about what you've heard and how, if you have questions about the text in particular, or if you have comments, things that we can share that help us to engage this issue of justice or injustice as it has related to you personally or maybe somebody that you know.